Minor injury? Maybe one. No? No injuries. That was amazing. So it was a lot of fun. So I hope you're able to see those, some of those as well. This morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 14 and 15. So if you would take your Bibles and turn there, Romans 14 and 15. As you might have noticed this morning, I am by myself. Well, I'm not by myself. The boys are up there, but all of the ladies have left the house. And so our house is still in one piece. It hasn't burned down yet. And we've actually had more than corn dogs and french fries to eat. So we've actually done pretty well. But Rachel and Hope are in Kansas City. It's our tradition in our family that when a child reaches 10 or 11 years old, they get a special trip with the same gender parent. So I took Drew to a game park in Uganda when we lived in Africa, took Alex to Rocky Mountain National Park, Colorado, and Hope is in Kansas City. So they've enjoyed, she had a horseback riding lesson, they went to the amusement parks yesterday. I think they're going shopping today, which is definitely a girl's trip, not a guy's trip. But they're having a really good time up there. So, yes. My wife tells me that I am quite odd in some ways. One of those ways is how I grew up and the music I listened to. Okay, she goes, you were an odd child. I'm like, well, thank you, I guess. Because I didn't listen to what most people listen to. I tried country music. I really did. I tried listening to it. But all I ever heard of were broken down trucks, ex-wives, and beer. And I was like, why am I listening to this? Okay, I was like, I don't really care for this. So I didn't like country. And I didn't really care for rock music. Because remember, this is the time of AC/DC. This is like Beastie Boys. This is all that type stuff. Because I listened to all the lead singers, and they all sounded like lizards that had sucked helium from a balloon. Okay? It's like Thunderstruck, was it? It's like, Thunderstruck! It sounds like, you know, scraping of fingernails on chalkboard. And I'm like, why would I listen to this? Okay? So I didn't listen to rock and roll. I did like some classic rock, however. Okay? Classic rock from the 50s and 60s, that's good stuff. But most of my exposure to music was Christian music. Okay, that's how I grew up. Christian music and gospel. I mean, my parents were big Gaither people. Steve Green, Carmen, that type of stuff is what I grew up with. But I also liked a certain other type of music that my wife goes, you're really weird. Okay? I liked men's quartets. Especially barbershop. I love barbershop music. And I am so disappointed because I had a wonderful barbershop video I was going to show you. Oh, it's so good. Okay? What I love about barbershop quartets is the harmony. Oh my goodness. Four guys, confident in their parts, crooning every which way, but always matching. It's glorious, okay? I remember growing up in our church, and there were four-part harmonies all around me. Okay, we've lost most of that, okay? But I remember one Sunday, I had a tenor behind me that was really good. I had a bass to my left, a soprano to my right, and an alto about right here. And I'm like, I'm in heaven, okay? It was just so good, okay? There's a depth and a complication to music when it's in harmony that's just magical, okay? Now, if you're even slightly musical, okay, the phrases melody and harmony are probably familiar to you, okay? The melody is the dominant line in the music, okay? It's the tune everybody remembers. If you sing in the shower, if you hum, if you whistle, even if you play a song in your mind, okay, you're 99% of the time you're playing the melody. Okay, dun da 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 dun da da dun da da dun 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 da 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 da. That's the melody. Okay, from Simple Gifts, in a really bad voice. Okay, that's what we do. We sing the melody, And it's fine. But harmony is complementary to melody. Alex, you may have to go forward one slide for me. Okay? It's complementary. Okay? The more parts that are added, the richer the harmony becomes. The goal of harmony is to add depth to the melody, but not to overpower it. Okay? Now, I haven't even practiced this, so we're going to try. Okay? Okay, that's the melody. Dun ta da da dun ta da. So, but harmony would go something like this. Let's see. Bum, bum, bum. Whoops. That's right, I can't play it. I could do this, however. No, I can't. Anyway, I forgot the song. But harmony is when you go from a single note to a chord. So it's like this. Here's your one note. That's harmony. This is harmony. That's harmony. You can play it in all sorts of different keys. Okay? The more notes you add, the more complicated the harmony. Okay? There's a richness and a depth to it. Okay? If everybody just sings melody, we have a great melodic song, but it's kind of shallow, okay? So harmony is really, really important, and it's hard to do in some ways. And what I want to do this morning is I want to tie in the musical concept of harmony with the biblical concept of harmony, because I think the musical aspect will help us understand the biblical one, okay? So in Romans 15, 5 and 6, we see this. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, we've been going through these one another statements in the New Testament. Here's another one. We are to live in harmony with one another. Okay? And I want to look at what that means. But to understand what harmony with one another means, we have to go back to chapter 14. Because 14 and the first part of 15 are all one united argument. Okay? And Paul is addressing the church in Rome and some practical issues that have arisen in the church in Corinth in Greece, and he fears may also come to Rome. So he addresses them here. Romans 14, 1 and 2, and verse 5. These give us the possible problems that Paul wants to address. He says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. And then verse 5. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. So there's two issues here. One has to do with meat offered to idols. We'll look at that first. The other has to do with the day of the Sabbath. Okay? So, looking at these, starting with meat. There was meat sold in markets next to temples. Okay? Because for most deities in the ancient culture, you would offer sacrifices, which means you would bring grain, you would bring meat, you would bring different things to offer to this god to appease him or to worship him. Okay? And this was done. It was done in the Old Testament as well, because the Old Testament, God commands the people to offer sacrifices to him. In fact, if you go to Leviticus, God is very specific on the cuts of meat that he gets, okay, which specifically was the fat around the internal organs. That's what God wanted. When that was burned, it was a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now, the Hebrews saw this as the best part of the animal, and, the best part of the animal, that's always subject to interpretation, but it was the fat is what gives protection to the internal organs. Okay, it's very important. And this fat especially was linked with blood. Leviticus also tells us the life of the animal is in the blood. And so God sets this apart for him. And I was reading a rabbi this week, and he said, God chooses not the largest cut. Okay, he didn't choose the ham or the big steaks. Okay, he didn't choose the most well-muscled. Rather, he chose that which stands guard over the organs, least seen but most essential. Okay, so the fat isn't the most seen. Okay, it's not the most sought after. But if we don't have it, we're in trouble. Okay, most of us, well, I don't want to say most of us, but I know for me, the older I get, the bigger this gets. Okay, I'm not growing this way anymore. I wish I was. It would counteract this. But I got some, I can float in a pool, let's put it that way, okay? So my sons can't, but I can, okay? Well, you know, we want to get rid of this. Well, that's fine, but there comes a point where we need some of this because the fat is the protection for our internal organs. It's what gives it cushioning. That's when we do something stupid, we bruise and not die, okay? Because the fat protects. God chose that for him. And different deities wanted different meats or sacrifices or whatever. So there was a lot of food going into these places of worship. It wasn't possible for the priest to eat all of it. And so they would set up markets next to the temples where they would sell this meat. My guess is the money from the produce went back to the temples. Okay? The question became for Christians, can you eat that meat? Okay? Meat that was offered to an idol. Was it okay to eat that meat or would it compromise your holiness? Okay? Verse 5, there's a different yet related issue, and this comes. This centers around the Sabbath. There were some who saw every day as important, not just the Sabbath, but Monday through Saturday, or if you're Jewish, Sunday through Friday were important days because God made all days, and the Sabbath was just another important day. Okay, there were others who said, no, the Sabbath is to be set apart and different, and there were a whole set of things you needed to do on the Sabbath to make it different. Okay? We think of it here. Years ago, most stores were closed on Sunday. Who remembers this? Okay? I even remember some of this. Okay? Grocery stores were closed, hardware stores were closed, gas stations, a fair amount of them were closed. You just couldn't do much. Okay? It was different. Work was not to be done on Sunday. Okay, I remember my dad got a little flack from a sermon he preached in the mid-80s on this. But, you know, you weren't supposed to work. Mowing your lawn on Sunday was frowned upon. Back in the day, guys, even doing homework on Sunday was frowned upon. So you procrastinators would really suffer. Okay? But that's just something you didn't do. It was set apart. Now, everything's open, okay? You can go to Walmart anytime you want to. You can get gas. You can go to Dillon's, okay? You can get most anything. And then if you can't find it, you just go online because online stores never close, okay? So it's changed. And so you have those who would say, no, Sabbath was to be set apart and different, and you had those that said, no, Sabbath is just a special day, like every day is special. And on both issues, Paul defines a group that he calls stronger and another group he defines as weaker. Okay, with the issue of meat offered to idols, the stronger ones are those who understand that the idol is nothing and you can purchase that meat and eat it and there's no problem. Okay, the weaker would be those who would say, no, if you ate that meat, you're compromising your integrity, your participating in that idol's worship, okay? The issue of Sabbath is really interesting because Paul seems here to loosen the understanding of Sabbath, and he would say He says that those who view every day as important are the stronger ones. So within the church, there are potential problems. Okay, if you have those who say you can eat this, you can't eat this, there's potential for friction. You do this on the Sabbath or you don't do this on the Sabbath, there's potential for friction here. Okay? And Paul needs to figure out a way to get through it. And so how does Paul work these out? Okay, verse 3. He says, "Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains from this meat pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him." And then on the issue of Sabbath, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes a day observes it in honor of the Lord. Okay. So let me summarize what I think Paul's point is here. Fellow believers, these aren't major issues, so don't let them divide you from one another. Recognize where each of you are at spiritually, and help each other grow without demanding that the other person be just like you. Love each other in humility, seeking the other person's good. If you eat meat from these temples, fine. You can do that. If you choose not to, that's fine. You can do that too. But don't look down on each other. Okay? And don't cause the weaker person to stumble. Okay? If they struggle with this, well, don't eat that meat around them. But it's fine if you do by yourself. Okay? There's no problem here. Sabbath, if you're going to see it as a day like any other, or you're going to see it as have a list of do's and don'ts, it's fine. You can do either one. Just don't demean each other. Don't cause controversy. It's not worth it. Okay? These are more minor issues. Okay? We are to love each other in humility, seeking the other person's good. So then, that's chapter 14. In first part of chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, Paul gives a prayer. Okay? And his prayer starts with this. Ends with this in verse 5. "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Now, it's interesting here, this idea of harmony. If you look at it in the Greek, it really means this: to be same thinking. Okay? Or if you go to the King James, it says of one mind. Okay? To be same thinking. We have to be careful with that phrase and understand what it does and does not mean. Okay? Same thinking means being united in purpose. It does not mean being carbon copies of each other. Okay? Or thinking exactly alike. It can't. In the context of chapter 14, you have people believing different things. Eat meat, don't eat meat. Sabbath is like a normal, is like a every other day. Sabbath is special. There's differences of opinions there. So Paul cannot be saying, everybody, you have to agree that eating meat offered to idols is the right thing to do. Okay? You have to do this, or you have to do these things on the Sabbath. Nowhere in chapter 14 does Paul lay down the law that says, this is what you have to do. Okay? Just doesn't do it. And so, being of the same mind can't mean you have to all agree on everything. Okay? Douglas Moo, he kind of wrote the standard commentary on Romans. He says this: in light of Paul's insistence that both the strong and the weak respect each other's views on the debated issues, we should probably not think that the main concern is that everybody in Rome should arrive at the same opinion on the issues dividing the church. His concern, rather, is that despite their differences of opinion, they might have a common perspective and purpose. Okay? To be of one mind, to go in the same direction, to have the same goal. Okay? Not to be robots of each other or carbon copies of each other. We can be different and go toward the same goal. Okay? Very possible, very, I think it reflects reality. Okay? So the overarching principle in Romans 14 is not what a person does or does not do. Rather, it's our attitudes. It's how we understand our brothers and sisters in Christ and live together with each other. So I think what Paul is doing here is he's encouraging the strong to willingly and lovingly assume the burden of the weaker brothers. Okay, to make a simple illustration. And I did this at school, and it was really funny, the reaction. This is beef country, okay? Right? It's beef. Even chicken is like subservient to beef out here, okay? What if you had a family over who were vegetarians? Now, I know this is like unimaginable for half of you, okay? But you had a family over that were vegetarians. Would you serve them meatballs? Yeah, of course you would, okay? What would be the loving thing to do? Serve them spaghetti. With meat?
No.
Okay, without meat, okay? The loving thing would be to either serve them spaghetti without meat or to get online and look at vegetarian dishes and make a vegetarian dish for them. Which also means for you, you would eat the vegetarian dish. Where it's one thing to serve it to somebody else and we have meatballs, okay? But no, you would actually eat the dish you prepared for them, okay? You'd be the reaction I got at school was like, oh no, they're wrong, they're sinful, they're of course they're going to eat. I'm like, guys, you are so 14 years old, okay? So if you have vegetarians over, you're going to serve them vegetarian food. That is the loving and kind thing to do, okay? It's just the way it is, the way we would love our brothers and sisters Christ. We are to look at their viewpoints, see how they are, and treat them accordingly, okay? There are Christians that are vegetarians. God forbid. No, okay? And that's okay. It's not sinful, okay? One of the things I want to just point out here, loving our brothers and sisters means more than just tolerating them. Okay? It's like, oh, you're different. I guess, okay. I'll tolerate you, but I'm not going to befriend, you just stay over here in this corner of the church because you're strange, you're weird. That's not love, that's toleration. Love means we go and befriend them and include them and be what brothers and sisters in Christ are supposed to be, okay? Loving, not just tolerating. So let's go back here and think of church harmony in terms of musical harmony. In order to have musical harmony, people are required to play or sing notes different from the melody. Now that's a concept for you, right? If the melodic line is C, C, E, E, G, the melody will not be C, C, E, E, G. Okay? The harmony may be E, E, G, G, B flat, and it will go together, but they're two different lines. Okay? Two different musical notes. Okay? Harmony in the church is similar. Harmony requires differences. You cannot have harmony if you don't have differences. Okay? We are a community of believers who have different personalities, gifts, abilities, perspectives, and ways of doing things. But that doesn't mean we should run wild. Harmony is always based off the melody. Always. And it's the melody that unites everything together. So let's think about this. Okay? We have different personalities in this church, do we not? Yeah. Okay? Not everybody is Dallas. Thank the Lord. Okay, not everybody is Todd. Okay? Not everybody is Dana. Okay? Or Melanie. We're different personalities. We come at things differently. Okay? That's a good thing. okay? We want a difference of perspective, okay? How many of you have ever been saved from doing something stupid by asking advice of somebody else? Yeah, I mean, how many hands can I put up, okay? Because that other person saw something we didn't or came at it from another way, okay? Or I was going to write an email, and I go, okay, this is really clear. Rachel looks at it and goes, you don't want to send that. Okay. It's good to have differences, to have different gifts and abilities, ways of doing things, okay? But it doesn't mean that we should just run wild with that, okay? We are tied together by the melody, and the melody in our case is Scripture and what God has revealed, okay? That is the unifying factor. That is the melody by which we live our lives, okay? How we flush that out in our life is different, and that's okay. That's good. I think about on the elder board, we come from very different perspectives sometimes. That's good. We have some very good and hard discussions sometimes, but it's our unity, it's our wanting to glorify the Lord and to honor His word that leads us to an agreement, okay? But it's in that difference that there's a richness of conversation, okay? As I said, for us as believers, the melody always comes from the Scriptures. We will follow them to the best of our ability, and we will not always, however, agree on the meaning of Scripture, okay? But that's where harmony comes in, okay? We can come to a mutual understanding of the passage, even if we come at it from different perspectives, okay? Will we always agree on the music selections during worship? No. How many churches have been split over this, okay? But hopefully we understand that worshiping in song can be done in different ways, not just the way I prefer. Will we agree on how to handle a specific situation? Maybe, maybe not. But I hope we all seek to honor the Lord in how we do it. Okay? So differences united by a desire to honor the Lord and His word. Okay? That's really what harmony is. And as I think about harmony, what it takes to achieve and maintain harmony in the church, I came up with a list of four different traits I think are really, really important. One, we have to have an active and growing relationship with the Lord. Paul is very clear that if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, then harmony is very, very difficult to achieve. Okay? This is an act of the Spirit working in us, okay, that allows us to have differences, but come to understanding, okay, to ways forward, okay? That's a spiritual act. But I think the second one is important. We have to actively seek the glory of God, okay? Too often we want our way or our opinions or this is the way it has to be or my perspective has to be right. Okay, yeah, I get that, okay? But it's That's not what's ultimately important. Getting my way or doing what I think, that's not the point. The point is what honors the Lord. What's in agreement with Scripture? What brings glory to Him? That's the ultimate purpose, the ultimate goal. Third, celebrate our differences instead of being frustrated by them. I'm not talking politically here, okay? They use this sentence to mean all sorts of things. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about within our body of believers here, all these different personalities. We can get really frustrated with them, okay? I'll speak about my mother-in-law because she's not here. No, but I love my mother-in-law dearly. You've all met Judy, okay? Wonderful. I have not met a lady who loves as much as my mother-in-law does, but she has no sense of time. She's a white African in every sense of the phrase, okay? No sense of time at all. I'm Mennonite. We talked in Sunday school. I think we have 15 clocks at home. I mean, it's scheduled. And it can frustrate me to no end, okay? When Mike and Judy are here. But you know what? God is working on me to say, that's okay. She loves. She comes at it differently. Don't get frustrated with her. Celebrate that God made her unique and different because she's got a ministry that I could never have. Celebrate the differences. Okay? And instead of being frustrated by them, I'm going, Lord, thank you for making this person different because you are making me such a richer person because of it. And you're being glorified. Okay? So when you get frustrated with somebody, try this. Go, Lord, instead of change my attitude from being frustrated to being grateful for them. That'll change your attitude toward a person. Okay. Fourth, I think we really need to work on listening to each other. Okay? Listening takes work. Okay. It's not this. Okay, you ask your wife how her day is, and she gives you a 45-minute monologue on her day, and you go, uh-huh, yep. Hmm, yeah, that sounds great. Sports scores? Oh, Yankees lost, yay. You know, no, it's not that. Listening requires active participation. It's hard work to listen, okay? But to listen to each other. And if you go, I do not get what you are saying right now, okay? Ask a couple of questions and then listen. And don't feel like you need to jump back in to persuade them to your side. Just and listen, okay? You'll learn so much more about a person, okay? I think we really need to work on listening. Because that, if you're in a choir or a band, that is one of the key traits, right? You have to listen to each other. If you're in a choir, you're listening to the people around you. Do you match? Are you loud enough? How is your pitch? Band, same thing, okay? Am I off a little bit on the rhythm? Do I need to get back on? Am I out of tune? Listening to each other is what makes a band sound united. Okay? We have to do the same thing here. To be a united, harmonious family, we need to learn to listen to each other. Okay? Divisions in the church over non-essentials diverts precious time and energy away from its basic mission. The proclamation of the gospel, that's our job, and of glorifying God. When it comes to living in harmony, God has not called us to be right. He's called us to live together in unity with one another. We have so much work in front of us to do. To teach people about God, to introduce them, to disciple, to witness, to encourage, to worship. We have all this stuff. Why do we fight over non-essentials? It's taking energy away from what's most important. And I think if we can learn to live in harmony and understand each other and see each other as grateful instead of annoying, it allows us to focus on what's really important. Not just to be right, but to live in harmony. And in harmony, there is latitude for differences of opinion in the body of Christ. It's okay. As long as the gospel is not overthrown in the process. Okay? God seeks unity amidst diversity, which should not be surprising because if you look at the Trinity, God is three persons in one. He is different and the same. Okay? He exhibits both unity and diversity. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, different roles, different ways to go about things, but yet all God. And so there is harmony within God's nature himself. And there is great unity. Okay? So let us be true to the melody that God has given us in his word. Let's be true to that. But let's be okay with the harmony of people coming at it with their own gifts and abilities, personalities, and differences. And learn to go, okay, God, how is this person enriching us or enriching the church by coming at it a little differently than I am? That's okay. Harmony is good, but remember, harmony is always subservient to the melody, okay? And it's harmony because it is off of the melody. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. And I'm not that musical, but this makes sense to me. And we are to be people who live in harmony with each other, not annoyed by the differences of personalities or ways we go about things, Lord, but seeing it as just different and maybe enriching or maybe a wiser way than we thought of. But Lord, let us be a church who lives harmoniously with one another, who we seek to understand. We seek to work together for the common goal, for furthering your kingdom and for giving you glory. That's the point. So Lord, help us to do that. Forgive us for those times that we have been judgmental or condemning or insulting, Lord, and take those attitudes and switch them to gratefulness. We ask, Lord, that you would do this, because this is a spiritual act from you through your Spirit. Lord, we give you thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.